Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Learn more of God's Word and grow deeper in your walk with Christ.
Well, our first missionary here tonight to give his presentation is Ben Metzger. And we are praying that Rochelle will feel better. She's still back at the hotel and she's dealing with strep throat. And she's on some antibiotics and hopefully she'll be feeling better here in the next few days. But we are thankful for the Metzgers and the good job that they are doing, not only representing us down in Argentina, but the souls that are being saved, the people who are being discipled, and the churches that are being established there in that country because of their efforts. So tonight we want you to welcome Ben to the platform, and we want to rejoice in what the Lord is doing in Argentina. Would you please welcome Ben Metzger?
Thank you, Pastor Frazier. Thank you, Canton Baptist Temple. It is with joy in the Lord, and we praise Him for all that He has done. We were here, I believe, about 6 years ago in your mission conference, and you have partnered with us throughout. We're very, very thankful for how God has used you and how you've participated faithfully in our ministry. So I can't tell you thank you enough. Your kindness has gone over and above, and including even during the weekend, and we're very appreciative. Want to share with you my testimony, and since my wife is not here, I'm going to share her testimony as well. Actually, our testimonies are that similar to where I actually almost could. Then we'll show the video to show you what we've been doing the last 5 years and how your investment has worked, and then I want to sum up a few statements after that. I grew up as a missionary kid in Argentina, as many of you know. And so I went to church basically because I had to. I served in church because, like any missionary kid, that's what you did. And so you got good at just doing what needed to be done. And if you're not careful, your heart just does what mom and dad tell you to do, and there's no real service to the Lord in that. Because of growing up in a Christian home, being saved and baptized at a young age, I'm thankful for that upbringing, but for anybody that's been in a Christian home raised like that, you have to come to a point on your own of deciding who Jesus Christ is to you and how you're going to serve God with the rest of your life. I came to a point of understanding that I had made my own plans for life. In fact, I wanted to be involved in the military in some way. And I was thinking, I'll be faithful to God after a military career. I will serve Him with my retirement years. Go down and build some churches in some cool place like Costa Rica in the middle of a jungle. I would love to do that. But I'll get the military career out of the way. That was my plan. That's what I wanted to do. And then starting at about 15, it was pressed upon me by the Lord that I had never once stopped and asked Him what He wanted me to do with the life that He gave me. Hear that again. What He wanted me to do with the life that He gave me. That was so incredible, and I realized I had never asked Him what He wants me to do. So at 15, I started asking. And little by little, my heart started changing and started serving Him genuinely in our church, starting to share my parents' burden for the people of Argentina. It wasn't just their burden, but now it became my own. For the lost and dying without Christ in a population of almost, at that time, 35 million. Now it's about 10 million more. And then at 17, God confirmed through various means that He wanted me to use the rest of my life as a missionary, serving Him where those had never heard, where they could hear the gospel. Those who have we live in cities that have churches all over the places, and there in Argentina, if you get two or three cities in a city of a million people, that's amazing. I'm going to transition to my wife's story now because I want you to hear the same thing from her. She grew up in a missionary family, also in Argentina. Her parents have been serving there for over 30 years faithfully. And she had to come to the point of surrendering totally to the Lord. After she was saved and growing up in that home of seeing faithfulness in her parents' lives, she wanted to surrender to the Lord, but it was, Lord, I'll do whatever you want except be a missionary. But then later on in her teenage years, actually it was at a youth conference, a year after I surrendered my life to the mission field, that my wife also was convinced in her heart about service to the Lord and surrendered to Him, but then said, just not Argentina. What did I say? Never say never to God. That normally ends up being what you end up doing. And that has been both of our experiences. We are blessed to be in a church at Cherry Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. I think you may have a Jennings around there somewhere. We were blessed to be serving in that church and just obeying the Lord with whatever He put in front of us and being involved. And every time a missionary came through, which I know just like Canton, you have missionaries through often, we would ask, Lord, is it Tanzania? Is it France? Is it Japan? Is it China? And it was until it was Argentina that God placed an incredible, overwhelming peace in our lives about that door. We didn't want to say, hey, let's go to Argentina. We both know the culture and we speak the language, because that just makes sense to us. But through that process, God revealed that, you know what, sometimes He does things that also make sense to us. And it has opened doors and given us an opportunity to just jump in and do ministry. So we're very, very thankful for churches like Canton who have enabled us to go down there and be with the people we love. It's amazing. Yeah, it's home, but there's a burden there for our people. I'm as much Argentine as I am American. And just like my American family here, I've got Argentine friends and family who are dying without Christ. So we're very thankful that we can carry the light of the gospel into that dark world. If we could go ahead and show that video now, please.
We are the Metzger family, your missionaries to Argentina, Ben, Rochelle, Natalie, Lucas, Elena, and Nicholas.
We arrived on the field in 2014 and promptly started being active in a local church just outside the capital city of Buenos Aires, alongside my parents, Barry and Diane Quartz, veteran missionaries of over 30 years. Since both of us grew up as missionary kids in Argentina, we were able to get right in and help with the ministry while the kids learned the language and adjusted to their new culture.
The first 2 years were spent ministering in various areas of the church, including teaching, discipling, kids' ministries, youth camps, seminary, and providing resources for local pastors, all the while searching and praying that God would show us where to start a new work. Also, in that time, God blessed us with our youngest son, Nicholas, who successfully keeps everyone on their toes.
As the church grew, we began to notice various families coming from a certain area about half hour away. We began asking God about González Catán. As we prayed, God opened doors and connected the dots. It was time to make the move. With the blessing and help of the church, we moved and soon began Bible studies in our house with those families to develop a core group for the new church. As we prepped with the families, the church prepped to give birth to its very first daughter church.
So, on Sunday, June 11th, 2017, Iglesia Bautista Redención, Redemption Baptist Church, had its very first official service. God continued working in and through those families who started with us. Upon focusing on discipleship, we witnessed several of the church people reach out to their own families to bring them to the Lord. It has been amazing to see God change lives from the inside out and use them for His work in others.
After 2 years of serving and growing with the church through evangelism, discipleships, and laying a solid biblical foundation, we were able to formally organize the church in March 2019 with 22 charter members. It was a blessing to celebrate the people's commitment to the Lord and to each other.
God showed His goodness to us in an enormous way shortly after. A Pentecostal church nearby closed its doors, and through a family member in our church, they offered us the use of their property, rent-free, expressing the desire to even give us the property after 4 years. We were shocked and amazed at what God was doing. The newly formed membership of the church voted to move to the new location. We worked diligently, and with much help and God's blessing, we were able to celebrate the church's second anniversary at the new location. Through personal outreach, special events, and regular curiosity in the neighborhood about the new church, we have seen God add people to this young church.
Our desire is to continue to grow this church to become a mother church as well, training up leaders to serve their local body, and hopefully God will call out one of these families to plant a church in one of the neighboring areas. The town of Gonzales-Catan has almost 300,000 people and only a few churches that preach a solid biblical gospel. Next door, on either side, are towns totaling almost 500,000 people with very few solid gospel witnesses. The rest of the metro area of Buenos Aires, about 15 million people, also shares the same desperate need. The Great Commission is not done in Argentina. Your prayers, your support, and even your presence can make an incredible difference. Come and be a part of what God is doing in Argentina.
God is faithful, and He works in the faithful praying and giving and going of His children. So we're very thankful, Canton, for the participation that you have had. Two goals that we had for our first term was to help a church, an existent church, start another church. And that's what you just saw. Our second goal was to grow that baby church to a health where it could survive our first furlough. Well, the church hasn't closed down yet, so we're good on that, too. We're very thankful for those that He has brought to us and how they have grown. We do focus a lot on discipleship. Now, our goals for the next term, there's three areas of ministry that we are exploring and talking to different organizations related to it. Our area is a poor area. There's pockets of poor communities, slums, and so to be able to start a feeding center in one of those as a door to take the gospel out. And then also we have a high school that is just a block from our church. And so to be able to participate in that high school doing assemblies and being able to get the gospel into that high school, which hopefully should start us to be able to get into other schools in the area. And then the third thing is drug addiction is enormous in the area that we live in. My wife and I both have experience because of Reformers Unanimous in leading that And dealing with people with difficult addictions. And so we have individually been able to help people. In fact, you saw several people who have come out of a life of addictions. Thank God. You saw them in the video. There's not time to tell the stories about every single one. But Douglas, 5 gunshot wounds because of his past lifestyle. He is now attending with his wife and his 2 boys. God got a hold of his heart, and after those first 2 years of sharing the gospel with him, he finally accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and is starting to get out of that lifestyle, bringing his wife and kids. And now, I just found out about this yesterday, his brother and his mom and his brother's family are starting to come to their church as well. That's God changing people, and he uses people he changes to change others, reach them with the gospel. So we're very thankful that he's allowed us to be part of this. We're thankful for you who partner with us. Grab a prayer card so you can be praying for us. I'll share one specific request later on that I really need you to pray for, so get ready for that. But come on out. You can follow us on Facebook. You can sign up for our prayer letter via email. And I hear that you all pray for us. We cannot thank you enough for that. That's actually what enables us more than anything to do what we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to hear that we have been supporting the Metzgers and a church has been started. That's what it's all about. And souls are being saved and lives are being changed. And I don't know about you, but I was envisioning those yellow walls in his church, in our church. Can you imagine that bright yellow all down through here? I looked at that and I thought, well, nobody will go to sleep when you're preaching down there. Amen. Well, we've got the Zarellas with us, and we are glad that they are new missionaries representing the country of Japan, and they are here with us to try to raise support, and we are excited to be able to partner with them and to see what God is going to do in their future ministry in the country of Japan. So, Nick, come, if you will, and share with us a little bit of God's calling upon your life and what you hope to see happen there in Japan. God bless you, Nick.
Let's welcome Nick.
Just one of the personal things that I've always loved in my own life when a missionary would come to my church and present was they would start off with a greeting in the native language of the place that they were going. Now, my Japanese is not adept just yet, and I'm sure Pastor Fraser might give me a tip or two, but I would just like to say this evening, konbanwa. And essentially what that means, or basically what that means, is good evening. We are Nick and Lorena Zarella. Please treat us kindly. We're very excited to be here tonight, and I just want to extend a personal thank you to Pastor Frazier, as we've started blazing this deputation trail, for inviting us here to Canton Baptist Temple and being able to just serve amongst the people here and present our ministry to Japan, which the Lord has called us to. You know, my wife and I, we have such a love for Japan and the people that are there. And you'll see in the video that how spiritually lost they are after I'm done speaking here, but we would covet your prayers. We would covet your prayers as the Lord guides us and leads us and directs us in the coming days, in the coming months and years, to prepare for what he has for us, for a nation that is spiritually dead. 127 million people, 0.58% are Christian. That's the up until a couple of weeks ago, and that right now they are the second largest unreached people group in the entire world. They were previously number one. I'm not sure who overtook them, but I give God all the glory for bringing souls to Christ in that nation of Japan. A little bit about me. I was raised in a home where my mom taught us about Jesus and gave us the Word of God, but I never actually made a personal or had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in my own life. the Bible to me and Jesus to me, Jesus was God, but the Bible says even devils believe. And so for me, the Bible was more of a good luck charm. I remember growing up and at night I would put my hand on my Bible all night long to ward away evil spirits and demons and those types of things. But I never had that personal faith that I needed to be saved in Christ. It wasn't until the summer of 2008 when my grandfather had passed away did spiritual questions of eternity begin to just plague my mind. And the Lord, over a year's period of time, grabbed onto my heart. And I remember in my own room during one summer of 2009, I got on my bed, I got on my knees, and I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life and to save my soul. It's been 10 years since. It's been a wonderful 10 years, and a lot has happened in 10 years. I was in college when I was saved, and I graduated from college with a business management degree, fully believing that I was going to be taking over my dad's company, my dad's business. And that was the plan. That's what everybody sought for me to do. But something happened along the way, and the Lord grabbed hold of my heart. He called me into ministry. And so one morning when I saw my pastor, I told him, well, you know, Pastor, I believe I'm called to be in ministry. I believe I'm called to be a pastor. And so he said, let's meet on that. And we scheduled a time to meet, and I asked the Lord to direct me through my pastor, and he did, fully believing that he was just going to bring me onto staff and train me up and send me out. And that's not what happened. He told me, well, you got to go back to school. You have to go back to seminary. And so I packed my things. I went over to Pensacola Christian College and I got my degree there. And praise the Lord, I am finished with that degree. And I'm here tonight, but I'm just very thankful. But it wasn't until I went to Pensacola Christian College did the Lord again change my life's position, I guess you can say. I believe that I was called to be a pastor. I believe that I was called to be in America. I would always say I can never be a missionary. I love missionaries, but I just don't have what it takes to be one. Well, little did I know that the Lord takes those who have little of what it takes to go and do the work. And so when I was at college, I met a lot of my friends, my close friends, who were either missionaries or young men from other countries around the world, and the Lord began to grasp my heart. And then one winter break when I was home, Laverne Rogers, who is a missionary to Japan, he's been there for over 70 years. He is 95 years old today. He preached a message at our church. He took his shoes off. He put them on the pulpit, and he said, I'm getting old, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around, and I need somebody to come and take my place here in Japan. And it was at that moment that the Lord gripped my heart for Japan. He put a burden in there, and I began to see the need in that place. I began to realize that there is so few Christians ministering out in the nation of Japan. It's a beautiful place, and I made a friend in college, and she began to tell me that you could go anywhere in Japan and almost never come across a church. And so the Lord began to build that burden and that love that I have. And that's where I want to transition in the call that the Lord has placed in my life and my wife's life tonight. The Lord gave us this threefold cord. And I just spoke about number one, the first part of that fold of that cord is the burden, that love for the people that are so without Christ and so in dire need of him. He's given us a great love, a spiritual love for the people there. And we can't wait to go and minister unto them and show them the word of God. But the second fold of that cord is our local church leadership, the agreement that we have with them. And so when I began to feel this burden, I didn't just jump out of my seminary chair and go and reach the field. I went and I spoke to my pastor and I spoke to our church leadership. And there was a consensus agreement that if God is calling us, well, we should go and we need to go as missionaries to Japan. But the third fold of that cord, and this is the most important, I want you to understand, we would not go to Japan without this, is the confirmation that the Lord gave to us. For myself, the Lord, after much prayer and much seeking the Lord on this, if he would have this for our life, the Lord put in my heart the verse Acts 18:10, the latter part of that verse, which states this, "For I have much people in this city." And if you know anything about Japan, it is a nation of cities. You don't know where one starts or one ends. Statistics indicate that 95% of the population is living in urban areas, and in 20 years, that'll be up to 99%. And so it really is a nation of cities. And the wonderful thing that I want everybody to understand here tonight as well is it's not just a confirmation for my life, but a promise. You know, a lot of people will tell us that Japan is hard soil to minister in. It's hard ground. It's the graveyard for missionaries. But the word of God has told me and promised me, I have much people in that city. And so what we know is this, through men like Pastor Frazier and his father and Laverne Rogers and Ken Board and Ruth King and these other missionaries that have been so faithful laying that foundation, the Spirit is already of God is already ministering there. And if my wife and I would be faithful and obedient to the call of God to go and be the hands and the feet and the voice and the mouthpiece of the Lord Jesus in that place, well, He's already got much people there. He's already doing the work in the hearts. We just have to be there and be obedient. And so that's the calling upon my life. For my wife, the Lord brought her to a different verse. He brought her to Isaiah 45:6, which states this, that they may know from the rising of the sun and to the west that there is none other, that I am the Lord. If you know anything about the nation of Japan, it's nicknamed the land of the rising sun. And so for her, it couldn't get much more clear than that, that she and I together are called to the nation of Japan. I just want to take a moment and just thank the Canton Baptist Church family for loving on us, for encouraging us in the calling that the Lord Jesus has for our life. It's not an easy calling. It is not meant to be an easy calling. But the Lord Jesus says, when you are weak, I am strong. And so we would just covet your prayers. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your support. And we just ask that if the Lord is calling you, come and visit us on the field and see the great things that the Lord Jesus is doing. And we love to have you. Please enjoy the video that we presentation that we put together for you tonight. And we'll be out in the hallway afterwards for a prayer card and just to talk about Japan. We love to talk about it. Come and speak to us at the end of service tonight. God bless.
Well, I was reminded that Japan is still a needy country, even though I grew up there. I was born there 53 years ago, but there's still a tremendous need. And we're glad that God is still calling missionaries to go to Japan. And thank you so much, Nick, for the presentation here tonight. And you know how it works around here. We don't just bring in missionaries and talk about their fields and get excited about what the Lord is doing and then send them on their merry way. We want to partner with them. We want to take them on for support. And tonight we want to commit, Nick and Lorena, we want to commit to take you on for $100 a month support starting, I don't know if we start that this next month in October, but if you're in favor of doing that, would you say a hearty amen to encourage them tonight? Amen. Amen. We want to partner with you, and we are praying that God will do some wonderful things there in Japan through your ministry. I believe you just started deputation, right? Are we the second church? We are church number two for them to visit. The first church was Cherry Street Baptist Church out in Springfield, Missouri, Dennis Jennings. And did they take you on for support? They did. So you're batting 1,000 so far. Amen. They took you on for support, and we're going to take you on for support. So that is exciting. Thank you so much. Let's give the Zarellas a big hand, all right? All right, Brother Russ, we started with you this morning, and we're ending with you tonight. And we are thankful for Russ and Lynn Turner and the work that God has allowed them to do. As he mentioned this morning, 30 years in Costa Rica and now doing some ministry among the tribal groups in Latin America. And I know you're going to hear more about that tonight. Please welcome Russ Turner back to the platform.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And while you're looking for the passage, I wish I could go back to Nick's age. He's on the front end of his ministry. I'm on the back end of my ministry at 65. But with the 40 years experience that I have, I'd like to go to that front end and start over again. It doesn't happen that way, but I sure would like for it to. You know, it's a blessing to be here at Canton Baptist Temple. I can shoe a horse. I can pack a mule. Put a chainsaw in my hand, put a welding rod in my hand, give me a shovel, give me a hammer. I feel happy. I feel comfortable. Put a rifle in my hand, give me a bow. I enjoy doing those kind of things. I feel more competent doing those things. But when I have to deal with computers, I feel like a baby. And I brought two flash drives. I had one with all the films, and then I had a backup, and neither one of them worked. Thankfully, I had sent the film this morning that we showed to Teresa this past week in an email, and so it halfway worked. It was kind of jumpy, you noticed. It's not that way originally, but so I apologize for my lack of expertise and IT stuff. Back to the drawing board. When I get to Chattanooga tomorrow, I'll go to our worship pastor there at church, and we'll figure out what the problem is and get it straightened out for the next week. I'll be in meetings every weekend for the next 2 or 3 months. But anyway, God gives each of us our abilities, and I'm thankful to serve Him. Amen? Acts chapter 14, verse 21, the Bible tells us, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," talking about Paul and Barnabas, "and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." I think this gives us a synopsis of what mission work is. Three key words I'd like to point out: disciples, elders, and church. As we go forth, I think these are like, you know, the little stools that have three legs, and if you're missing a leg, the stool won't stay balanced. Well, here's the three key elements of mission work: new disciples, new churches, new leaders. And certainly we have tried to win new souls to Christ, ever reaching out to new areas and witnessing to people, sharing the gospel with them, and bringing them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. One more story about the messenger. A couple of years ago, I was in the village of Palo Seco, which means dry branch. Nancy is a young lady who had been with some debilitating disease for 18 years, had been invalid in a bed. Ramon is a Kokama pastor there. He came to me and he said, "Pastor, would you go visit with me to this home where a young lady is invalid? And she would like one of those messengers, I'm sure." So Ramon and I walked to Nancy's house. We went through the door. She was lying there in very humble circumstances. And we sat down on the edge of the bed with her and talked to her. The day before, Ramon had visited her and led her to the Lord. She accepted the Lord as her Savior. And so now Ramon said, this messenger would be great for her. She can't get up. She can't go to church. And so I was able to take a messenger and show her exactly how to use it. And she was so thankful for the messenger. Fast forward a couple of years. I was over in Macedonia where Ramon lives. When I saw Ramon in Palo Seco 2 years previous, he was a robust man, probably 200, 220 pounds. And now, 2 years later, I look at Ramon. He's a stick, 150, 140 pounds, blind with diabetes. Couldn't see, lying in his hammock, very weak. And I said, "Ramon, I brought you something. You remember that messenger that we gave Nancy? Here's one for you." Blind now, he can't see any longer. And he shed tears as he laid in his hammock, thanking me for a messenger so that he could listen to God's word. So God is using this little tool. Thank you, whoever the person was that gave more for more messengers. We will get each messenger out wisely so that it will be used to its absolute best ability. As you go to the mission field, you need to have the attitude of an open mind to always keep learning. In my younger years, I used to look at the Latin people, the Hispanic people, and think, why are they taking such a long siesta at the middle of the day? Are they lazy? The Latin people were looking at me and saying, look at that idiot gringo out there working in the hot sun. He's going to kill himself. The early morning and the late afternoon is to work. The middle of the day is to take a siesta. Well, I've learned the value of a siesta. I enjoy it. And you know, it's not just for sleeping. It's also used to read, to study, to converse with others, people to come and visit, to have their questions answered. And so we're able to spend that time wisely as well. Always keep learning. The Indian men will sit in a circle in their council meetings. They'll invite me occasionally to their council meetings when they're discussing things about their tribe. And sometimes they'll speak in Spanish, sometimes they'll speak in their dialect and then translate to me what they were talking about. After they finish, they'll look to me and say, now, Pastor Missionary, what is your advice to us? I've sat quietly during the hour or so that I've watched them as they discuss the matter. And then I'll try to take God's word and give them a spiritual outlook on whatever the matter is. They distrust the white man. They've been mistreated by the Latins, by the colonizers, colonos as they call them, or paisas. I think paisa is more of a despicable name because they almost spit it when they say it, like paisa, you know, like that. Talking about us and the mistreatment that they've suffered through the years. But these men are willing to teach me as I turn and teach them what God's word tells us to do. And so there's cooperation between us. And we're getting the job done for the Lord there in the jungle villages of Latin America. Let me throw out two numbers to you. 235 versus 450,000. In the United States, there's one trained leader for every 235 people. One trained spiritual leader. I'm talking about pastor or Bible worker, someone that knows the Bible, an evangelist, one for every 235 people. And the rest of the world, there's one for every 450,000 people. What a disparity. And so it's not just going to reach the unreached. It's to go teach the underreached, to teach them God's Word. Yes, most places where we go, they've heard the name Jesus. They've heard the name God. But they are so undertaught in the Word of God. And that's where we come in. The past generation of missionaries, like from New Tribes Missions, Wycliffe Bible Translators, those guys were the pioneers that went in the 40s and 50s and 60s and lived with these Indian tribes and reduced their language to writing and then translated all or most of the New Testament and just a few portions of the Old Testament into the dialects of the Indian tribes where we're working. I don't have time to learn all those dialects. I'm too old now. But Spanish is our trade language, and so we understand each other using the Spanish language. But now I'm that next wave, and others that are helping me to further these Indian pastors in their Bible knowledge, to build strong churches for the honor and glory of the Lord. Amen? You know, a church needs to be biblical, it needs to be cultural, it needs to be reproducible. First of all, biblical. The Bible is our standard. It's our foundation. We build the church upon the Word of God. Then it needs to be cultural. We're not going to build American churches. We're going to build native churches. And so we retain their culture just as long as their culture doesn't go against God's Word. So you'll see them use their own instruments, sing in their own manners, and many things about the culture that you'll see involved in their church services. And one of the main things is they have long church services, you know. Then also, it ought to be reproducible. There would be no sense in me trying to build this type of building down in the jungles of Colombia or Panama. But we can use their own natural resources out of the jungle, the timber that they can cut, and then we can go right alongside them and help them by buying the tin roofing, and we can put up an adequate building where they can come in out of the rain and worship God and learn the Word of God. And so we're teaching them to have reproducible churches. Take what they've learned and go do it in another village where we may not have been or where we can't go. Biblical churches, cultural churches, reproducible churches. An example of that is several months ago, I gave Lolo, the Kokama pastor, $250 to go in his canoe upriver in the Javari area and to bring some of the Jagua people down to the seminar. It's about a 6-hour trip up and 6 hours back. So he went up one day, invited the people, brought back several, among whom was a young couple, probably about 20 to 25 years old. And Alberto was the man's name. Sonia was his wife. And she was heavy with child. They came down to the Bible Institute where we were meeting at Saboneche. And they were there for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Teaching them every day. During that seminar, Alberto and his wife received Christ as their Savior. During that time, Sonia went into labor. But her baby was in breech position. Now think, if she had been up in that remote village, probably she would have died as well as the baby. But just 10 minutes down the river from Saboneche, where we were having the seminar, there was another village, Puerto Espiritual, and there was a midwife. And so they jumped in the canoe, went down, and brought the midwife back. She was able to insert her hand and reposition the baby. The baby was born naturally, healthily, and both mom and baby are doing fine. Praise the Lord. Now, that young couple, they were trained in basic knowledge while they were there at Saboneche, and they went back to their village as a witness to the village of Buen Suceso in Limonero in the Javari River, Alberto and his wife. This is the purpose of us being there, to train these people so that they can go back and reach their own people. Ladies, speaking of an Indian lady on the field, just to put it plainly, she's the mule of the family. She's the load bearer. If you watch the Indian family as they go down the path, you'll see the Indian, and he'll have his machete in his hand. The wife will be behind him. She'll be carrying the big basket full of whatever it might be, food or clothing. And then behind, like ducks in a row, will be the children. As the Indian man hears the gospel and receives Christ as his Savior, his attitude toward his wife changes greatly. Before his salvation, she's the one that cuts the firewood. She carries the water from the river. When he gets drunk, he beats her. She cooks the food. She cares for the children. She does all of that. Now, he goes out and plants the garden, and he hunts and fishes, and then he lays in the hammock and tells her what to do. But after he receives the Lord as his Savior, you see a difference in that family. He starts carrying the load. He starts helping his wife and taking the load of laundry down to the river for her so that she doesn't have to carry it. I remember one of our pastors and his sons, they kind of revolted at that, said, "Daddy, the other boys are making fun of us because we take the laundry down to the river for Mom. Mom." And he says, "It doesn't matter. We're serving Christ. We're serving Christ." These ladies, they really carry a load to raise their families, and they have so many personal needs. Tonight, a couple brought me a big bag of shampoos and conditioners and soaps. There's going to be some happy Indian ladies in a few weeks down in the jungle when they receive those things. As I mentioned this morning, they'll come up to my wife and grab her. "Come, tell us about this. Explain this to us. Tell us about heaven. Tell us how to be saved. Tell us how our children can love Jesus and what we can do to help them. How can we be better mothers?" And so my wife will take them in her care and will share with them during that week or 10 days that we're in the village. What an opportunity to work with those dear ladies. When I broke my foot last year in a motorcycle accident, I was going from one village to another and just went over a slight rise and hit some loose gravel. The motorcycle skidded out from under me, and it landed on my ankle and broke it. Actually, I was supposed to come to Canton Baptist Temple for the Global Impact Week, and I couldn't because I was still on crutches and not able to move well. After I got back to the village of Kumaribo, where the landing strip was, I was lying in my hammock just waiting for the plane to come in. It came in a couple of days later, and I heard a putt, 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 and a motorbike came up, and an Indian man got off supporting his wife, and they walked into the little hotel where I was staying and said, "Pastor, would you pray for my wife? She is very, very sick, and she looked like death warmed over, like she just wasn't going to make it." She came in. They sat down where I was lying there in my hammock, and I took the Word of God. We read the Scriptures about healing, about God's power, and then we prayed to the Lord right there. And I talked to them first to make sure they were saved. They both gave profession that they had accepted Christ as Savior. They came from the village of Kumariana, about an hour away. No church there yet. A group of believers, but no church. So we prayed for her, and then he helped her back out to the motorcycle. They got on and left. A few days later, the Indian pastor told me that he had been out to Kumariana because we had a project to build a church there. And he said, in the service last night, Anita, that lady, she came to church and she was praising the Lord for healing in her body. Just a few months later, we were able to, during that time, give $1,000 to buy the tin. They cut the lumber out in the jungle. They put up the frame, and we put the tin on the roof. And so I was out there for a seminar just this past year in January, actually. And a beautiful building, a large building where they can seat 300 Indians there for a seminar. And there was Anita with a smile on her face, praising the Lord because he had done a work in her body. Praise God for those things that we're seeing among the Indian people. Kumariana, you have helped to build a church in that village through supporting our ministry. So again, I say, God's Word is doing a great work in people's lives. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. I believe in it, and I'll take the gospel because Jesus commanded it, because it works, and it's free. God bless all of you, and may we continue forward in missions. Thank you, Pastor.
Stay up here. I like for the missionaries to join me up here on the platform. And when we met last night for the orientation dinner, I told them, I said, at the meeting tomorrow night in the service, I'm going to ask you to share one prayer request that our church family can pray with you about. So having said that, I want to encourage you to take out a pen, either a piece of paper, maybe you can even use today's bulletin. All three missionary pictures are right there on, when you open up the bulletin, right there in the front. I would encourage you to write down these requests. I didn't ask them to give multiple prayer requests, just one. One prayer request that's on their heart that they would like for us as a church family to pray with them about. So, having said that, Russ, you've got the mic. You're up first.
Okay. Lolo, L-O-L-O, Kokama Pastor. We will be having a seminar in November in a new area of the Amazon region. We need $600, $300 for food, and $300 for gasoline. Pray for that need.
This is a bit of a personal request. My wife's grandmother named Yolanda, she had been in Venezuela her whole life, and up until, you know, for 10 years after they moved, she was never able to see her son again, my wife's father, and she just recently was able to move from Venezuela to the States, and it just so happens that she's going through some major health issues right now. She just received a biopsy, and results come on Tuesday. We just pray and covet your prayers for good results with that, and that her body would be healthy and strong, and we thank you for that.
You saw in our video that the property we're using is borrowed. There's a family that's letting us use it with the stated intention of giving it to us after 4 years. Our big ask is that God would get a hold of their hearts and do it in two. There's too much growth and expansion that has to happen, so that's we're a little... I'm not sure that impatient is the word. Excited maybe about what God is going to do and trusting him for the property where we can't build on borrowed land. So that's why we need it to be ours to do that.
All right. All right. Did y'all write those down? We want to be in prayer for all three of those prayer requests. Some of you are using your smartphones. However you want to do it, to remember to pray for these needs, that God would meet those needs. We believe that God hears and answers our prayers. Amen. We just heard a wonderful story, a testimony of that with that lady's healing. God hears and answers our prayers. So I hope that you'll pray for all three of those needs.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.